Good morning. There's a lot in this reading, and I have concentrated on the idea of living water. And there are many kinds of water: tap water, distilled water. Have you looked? Spring water, well water, purified water, mineral water, sparkling water, hard water, boiled water, filtered water, soft water, rainwater, rain, salt water, loads, and the list goes on. Jesus talked about water, and he didn't refer to any of those kinds of water. He spoke of a different type, living water. And this type of water you won't find in the shops. Well, I haven't found it anyway. We can't pop a cap, we can't draw it from a well. It won't satisfy physical thirst, but it will satisfy a thirsty soul. And living water is available to anyone who has a right relationship with our Almighty God. People who have the right desire may obtain this living water. And that was the living water that was offered to this Samaritan woman, the Spirit of Grace. But today, Jesus offers us living water, the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is repent of our sins and ask Jesus to take up residence in our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit will come and lead and guide us. We don't have to go anywhere in particular to acquire this living water. Jesus is the fountain of life, and once we accept him as our own personal Lord and Saviour, our lives will be changed. We will not be the same as we were previously. We will have that peace in our hearts, that knowing that one day we will take our place in one of those rooms in that heavenly mansion and forever be with Jesus. But let's look at our reading. It started off by saying that Jesus left Judea to go to Galilee. Now, I looked it up, and in order to get to Galilee, there were three routes. And yet Jesus chose this route through Samaria. Hold on to that. He travelled all day long with his disciples, and evening was coming, so they were all tired. And our reading tells us that they stopped by Jacob's well to rest. Well, Jesus did. And wells in those days were located outside of the city. So Jesus sent his disciples off while he waited. And as Jesus sat there, this Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" A simple request. If you or I had been in Jesus' place, we probably would have asked the woman the same question. And she most likely would have responded positively, and we would have received a cup of water. The difference here is that Jesus was a Jew. And that may not seem like a big thing to us. But the fact is, in those days, the Jews had no use for Samaritans. We know that from the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is because many years before, so it's a historical event, the northern kingdoms fell to the Assyrians, and there the northern kingdom's capital was Samaria. And after this event, many of the Jews were sent to Assyria. Does that sound familiar? Settlements? Well, when that happened, foreigners were brought into Samaria to settle the land and to keep it at peace. And the result of this was intermarriage between the people that were brought in and the Jews in Samaria. And therefore, this intermarriage brought forth a mixed race. And so the pure Jews in the southern kingdoms considered these people, and their land even, as impure. The Samaritans were thought to have betrayed the pure Jews and the Jewish nation as a whole. And from that time forward, pure Jews avoided travel through Samaria. Jesus was a pure Jew. So why did he travel through Samaria? I believe that Jesus went that way because he knew that there was work to be done in the name of the Father. He knew that a certain woman would be coming to this particular well at a certain time to draw water. But Jesus didn't want to embarrass her in any way. So he, as I said, he sent his disciples away into town to buy food. He wanted to meet this woman on a one-to-one basis. Now we know that Jesus taught and preached to large crowds of people. But Jesus was also known to meet people individually. He met Nicodemus privately, and he met this Samaritan woman when she came alone to draw water from the well. And the only thing that this Samaritan woman saw when she went to the well was this poor-looking Jewish man who had been travelling all day and was dusty and tired. And so that's why, when he asked the woman for a drink, the woman said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me?" I mean, it was incredulous. She was a Samaritan woman. She was considered unworthy just because she was a member of this mixed race. And Jesus knew, as probably did other people in her village, that this woman was living in sin. And that the woman had come to this public place to draw water at midday. Now, nobody goes to draw water at midday. She'd gone at that time to make sure that no one else would be around. No one else would be there to stare at her. No one else would be there to make judgments on her. But Jesus is not your average Jewish man. He was God incarnate. These things did not stop him from conversing with the Samaritan woman. The real truth is that Jesus did not and does not have a problem talking with anyone. He had a message to spread that would bring life to those who would listen and accept his words. He could meet people on the street, in the marketplace, in their home, in the temple, and share his message with them. And perhaps you and I need to follow Jesus' example a bit more closely and treat people we meet in the very same way. And this living water that I spoke about earlier and that Jesus speaks about now is nothing new to those people. Those that knew the Old Testament will have known the meaning of the living water. In the Psalms, in Psalm 42, we have those wonderful words, you know, "as the deer pants for streams of water." Don't we all love that hymn? "So my soul pants for you, God." And we picture this deer running away from danger in the hot sun. And the more the deer runs, the thirstier it becomes. And it's just like each one of us. If we have worked hard and long, we become thirsty. And when this happens, we desire to have a drink of cool water, just as the deer does. And the deer will satisfy its thirst by drinking water. And we too can satisfy our physical thirst by drinking water, by going to a tap, water fountain, or even a bottle these days. But we cannot satisfy our spiritual thirst in the same way. God does not want us to suffer spiritual thirst or thirst of the soul. He is concerned about us. He cares for us. He wants us to drink of the living water. And so he offers us the living water to fill our empty souls with the good things that he offers. Our thirsty souls will always be satisfied with Almighty God. But when we turn from God and begin to live worldly, we are giving up that living water. Our soul will soon get thirsty, really thirsty. And we may try to even satisfy our thirsty soul by accumulating worldly possessions. Some people turn to alcohol, drugs, money, and a host of other worldly things, but they do not satisfy that thirsty soul. God is ready to refresh us with living water, just as he indicated to that Samaritan woman, because Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And perhaps many of us think worldly, as did the Samaritan woman when she said, you know, she looked at him and said, you've got nothing to draw the water with. You know, the well is deep. Where do you then get the living water? And the lady was just seeing with her human eyes this poor, tired, worn-out traveller, and she missed the point because he had said, if you knew the gift of God. He was actually saying at that point that he was the Messiah, but the woman didn't understand, and I don't think many of us would either. The gift of God was the greatest gift of love God had to offer. There are people today who are like the Samaritan woman. They do not understand or care to understand the gift of God that he offers us. God wants us to ask him for that living water. And when we ask, we are asking Jesus to come and live in our hearts. The living water, the Holy Spirit, to take up residence in our heart and lives. But the woman doesn't stop after asking him, where do you get it? She continues with her human mind sort of saying, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well? Because obviously she's very proud of this. And she thought literally instead of spiritually or heavenly. And she didn't understand that Jesus could furnish her with this living water. She didn't see the bucket or rope in his hand, so he couldn't do it. And that is what happens to some people today. They may know what Jesus' word said. They may read it. But because they can't see anything visible, they tend not to believe his promises. The woman didn't know that the fountain of living water was hidden within Jesus, and that all she had to do was to ask for a drink from him. Because Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give will never thirst. The water that I shall give will become in them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And even then, still she didn't understand the difference between our physical and spiritual needs. We can take care of our physical thirst and hunger. We also need to take care of our spiritual thirst and hunger. We satisfy our spiritual thirst and hunger by the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, our Bibles. And what does that woman say? She says, she's eager for it. She says, sir, give me the water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw the water. She wanted the water simply because it would make her life easier. Her trips to the well would be cut back. She wouldn't have to keep facing this hostile village within which she lived. And perhaps some people accept the living water because they think life will be easier for them and their trials and tribulations will be minimal. When this happens, they're accepting Jesus for the wrong reasons. Jesus never said, and we've said it time and time again, and we say it to each other, Jesus never said that we as Christians would not have to go through trials and tribulations. It would be wonderful if we did, but we all know we don't. But what Jesus did say in Hebrews 13, he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. God wants us to be challenged because it's during those times that we draw closer to him. The Samaritan woman drew closer to Jesus, and I urge you to continue reading the rest of that story. He wants us to draw closer to him, to cast our burdens upon him, and form a closer relationship with him. And it's during these times that he gives us the power on the inside to deal with the problems on the outside. There's loads more, but we have to remember, Jesus offers all his children living water, and each of his children who accepts that living water comes into a closer relationship with God the Father, and the hunger and thirst of the soul will be satisfied. And we have to witness this to others. they may believe when we tell them these things, that we may tell our own story about our journey with Jesus. They may believe it. They may smile. And not really. But we can't force them. But we have to keep saying it. Because the results of our efforts may not come to light straight away. But we must give the person time to weigh the facts for them. To weigh it up for their lives. And if we do that, even if we don't get results, we've played our part. And then the Holy Spirit will step in and take over. It may take a lot of us to speak to the same person. And eventually that crack will open for the Holy Spirit to step in. And there will be still trials and tribulations to pass through. But that then child of God will not travel through them alone, because the love of God will enable them to live life within the standards and guidelines of the Father. Remember, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give will never thirst, because the water I shall give will become in them a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And so that's my prayer for all of us and everyone that we witness to, that we will have within us a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.